Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Jesus or the Antichrist. There is no teaching in the mainstream churches how the Jewish Kabbalah teaches that the God of the Bible is the bad God, and that Lucifer is the real creator and life-giver. The Bible says that Lucifer's Antichrist will lead the world in Satan worship and exercise global control. But in order for that to happen, someone must have total financial and political control. This can partly be accomplished through military supremacy, but there also needs to be a high level of technology. Pastor John shows how Satan released a massive technical transfer in 1947 and how it has affected our lives. This transfer of technology was actually prophesied by Daniel some 2,600 years ago, and this means we are much closer to the tribulation period than previously thought. This message is entitled Part 3, Satanic Technology Transfer. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on February 7th, 2010. And this is going to be my third message on Jesus or the Antichrist. And today we're going to talk about satanic technology transfer. And I covered your prayers that I'll be able to speak slow, distinct, and this is going to be a message that's going to be extremely important now, and it's going to be extremely important for people in the future. So let's stand and pray one more time. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now that I can stand behind this pulpit. And Lord, it is a privilege to be speaking for you. And I ask you right now, my Heavenly Father, for the anointing that will not be only on me, Father God, but on everyone that listens and hears this message. Let there be an anointing that will last for years to come, as this message will be played over and over again until the time comes when you are here. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us now and give us understanding. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, Amen. You may be seated. As we are looking upon the coming Antichrist kingdom, the Bible tells us it's going to be satanic worship. When I read this here years ago, I envisioned Satanists, witches, people in the occult. But it's going to be a satanic worship that you and I have never understood. What does it mean, the Antichrist? Now, Christ is Greek for Messiah, the Anointed One. Anti means the opposite. The man the Bible calls the Antichrist is going to be an anti-Messiah. He's going to be a usurper, and he's going to try to take the place of Jesus. Let me read from my outline there. Most Christians don't know what is taught in the Jewish Kabbalah, which is a set of some 650 books. In the end time, the world religion would be worshiping the devil and his ruler. Revelation 13:4. And they worship the dragon, give power unto the beast, And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. Who is this dragon? Well, we have identified it before. You have it in Revelation 12. And verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the world. He was cast into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Satan, the serpent, the dragon, it's going to be satanic worship. Up to 1981, I had never heard of the Kabbalah. I had heard about the Talmud, but the Kabbalah was not in existence for me. And let me again say this to you here. If you don't know that something exists, you're not going to look for it. If you don't know that something doesn't exist, you're not going to look for it. I did not know it existed, therefore I didn't look for it. And it was a preacher, a Swedish preacher, Kjell Kirby, that simply said, I have been to Israel, I have been to the Hebrew University, and I have discovered that the Jewish leadership are following a teaching called the Kabbalah. And first I thought, what is the Kabbalah? Can you eat it with a spoon or a fork or what? And then I found out what it really was. Now, you have a footnote here. And it simply says, we have the Dove magazine, winter 1995. Where we have a write-up of 35 pages. Where we take it from the very beginning where the Kabbalah is. List all the Bible verses that we have about it. And it will give you an understanding that will be like a 101 in the Kabbalah. If you haven't got that Dove magazine, you need to get it. Call us, write us, go to the bookstore, pick it up, and get educated. Let me read from the outline here now. The Kabbalah teaches that the God of Abraham is a bad God and the source of all evil. Let me pause for a moment. The Kabbalah is not only a Jewish writing. It goes back to King Solomon 2,800 years ago. But the Kabbalah is the doctrine of Freemasons. You will always hear Freemasons saying this, we're going to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. Rosicrucians, witches, Satanists. The Kabbalah is a doctrine of every occult organization in the world. And the only one of us that know about it are the believers in Christ. We ignorant. This is why in Freemasonry, by the way, we have approximately, probably now, about 10 million Americans are Freemasons. And when you come up to the 28th degree in Freemasonry, if you read their book, Morals and Dogma, by General Pike, they simply make the statement that up to now we have intentionally misled you. But now we're going to tell you the real truth. The real God is Lucifer. Freemasons are Luciferians. And what the Kabbalah is simply saying this, that when Abraham Actually, when Moses went up on a mountain to receive the commandments, the real God, Lucifer, met the 70 elders at the foot of the mountain. And the God that was up on the mountain is the devil. It's a total reverse. Now, Lucifer, they say, is a good and real God. Therefore, during the reign of this Jewish global ruler, he will introduce his God to be worshipped. Since there will be such a power display from Lucifer as his global ruler, people will gladly accept Lucifer as a God and a global leader as the Messiah. It is important now you understand this. In order for the Antichrist to pull this off, there's going to be a technology explosion second to none. Up to now, we have been living in a box. Because in Christianity, we have very little power. And we don't think about that much power among the occult. Most of the people in the occult have more power than what believers in Christ have. That's a tragedy. I'm going to show you here today that you need to understand that we are in a transition period. And life is going to change and not be like we have seen it been. Christian Zionist pastors and their followers are going to face some difficult issues at this time. They believe that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the Messiah that came thousands of years ago. But what are they going to do with this man who claims he's a Jewish Messiah? Every year, the Christian International Embassy in Jerusalem organizes a tremendous big conference in Jerusalem. And the Christian Embassy is simply another tool of Christian Zionists of pushing Zionism. I was shocked when I learned who the main speaker is going to be this year. They have lined up the German evangelist, Reinhard Bunker. He's going to be in Jerusalem and be the keynote speaker this year as they're going to be having worship, working with the Jews, and they're simply going to build a coalition. They have built the coalition. I want you to stand there and really think with me. When the Antichrist comes, he's not going to come and say, I am the ugly one. I'm the Antichrist. He's going to be presented as a political world leader that wants peace and tranquility. He's going to be Jewish, very slick, and he's going to say that we got to protect Israel. And he's going to be presented as the Jewish Messiah. And when he begins with his power displays, the Christian Zionists are going to have to change their teaching. And I believe God showed it to me, that they would simply say, the man that is now ruling out of Jerusalem with all the power and everything else, it is Jesus that has come back. And he is setting up his 1,000-year kingdom. Now, we cannot buy sword Bibles anymore. They went out of business. We are working hard to find King James Bibles we can buy and sell. The people, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, will have Bibles that will be different from what is King James. That would be changed in such a way that the Antichrist could come in, because much of the teaching here would be taken out. And thus they would say, well, this is the way it's going to be, and so on. And you take people that are young, have never seen a King James Bible, and they're going to say, well, that's in the Bible. It is not enough to have a Bible. You've got to have a real Bible. This is going to be a problem as we come into this time. I wrote this. Christian Zionists, pastors and followers, have faced some difficult issues at this time. They believe that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the Messiah that came thousands of years ago. But what are they going to do with this man who claims he is a Jewish Messiah? This is what I believe God showed me. Mark my words. At that time, if John Hagee is still alive, he's going to simply say this: Jesus has come back. We are now in the 1,000-year kingdom. Let's worship the man in Jerusalem. Let's take the mark of this world leader. It is a mark of God. It's going to be a deception. It's going to be so diabolic that I believe that the majority of Christians will fall and take the mark of this man and be damned forever. What I'm preaching today, very few pastors would even touch, because they'll be labeled lunatic, anti-Semitic, crazy, crackpots. But you've hanged with me, and you're going to watch it here, what it says in the Bible. This is what I wrote. John Hagee, if he's still alive at that time, will claim that God has a special deal for the Jewish people, and they are now back in their own land. By the way, John Hagee is a false prophet. Let me ask you this question now, because we really need to understand. You need to look upon people, who they are, where they came from. John Hagee, years ago, was a pastor in a different church he is today. He had a wife and children. And one day he decided that a woman in the congregation looked nicer than his wife. He developed a relationship and simply decided that I'm going to divorce my wife. I'm going to marry this woman, who, by the way, is an American Jewess. And he married her, quit that church, gave up his ministerial papers, got new papers, and started a new church. And 30 years later, he's banking on that most people never heard of that story. And he simply said, you know, this is a soulmate. You heard the governor of Tennessee say that? He had a soulmate in Argentina. He gave up his wife for this woman. Do you believe that God simply would have a man as a minister, and then say, I made a mistake, this woman and his children, just leave them because I got a better woman for you over here. And that's a man that is leading people today into Christian Zionism. The global ruler has taken them under their wings. Jerusalem is not only the capital of Israel, but of the whole world. The temple has been rebuilt, sacrifices have resumed, and all the prophets of the Old Testament have been fulfilled, according to them. At this time, Christian Zionists will be forced to reject Jesus as the Messiah. They must reject the global ruler as the Messiah, because they won't be able to have it both ways unless they declare that he is Jesus who has returned. Since the Bibles used in most Christian churches have been revised time and time again, people will not be able to turn to the Bibles and find answers. Turn with me to Amos chapter 8. That's the book of Amos chapter 8. Have you picked it up in verse 11 through 13? I want you to really let these words sink into you right now. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young man faint for thirst. Someday there will be a famine. You know, the communists in the Soviet Union try to take away the Bible. The Chinese come to try to take away the Bible. And they realized it was a lost cause. The more they took it away, the more they smuggled in, the more Bibles they had. And then Satan got smart. He said, let them have Bibles, but my translation. Let them have Bibles, but let it be my translation. How many Christian leaders have you seen stand up and say, hold it. All these new versions, they are not right. But you don't have that today. It's strange versions. And every time there's a new translation or new version coming out, there's a change. God said, there's going to be a famine. It's a famine right now. You go to an average church, any place, and they have the Living Bible, NIV, Revised NIV, the Message, you name it, and they read it. It's not the Word of God. Turn on to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. We pick it up, chapter 2, verse number 8. Let me read to you what I wrote here in my box. I like boxes, it's important. As a result, most Christians would be so confused that they would believe that this global ruler is really Jesus, who has come back to set up his kingdom on this earth. Have you ever been to a Benny Hinn meeting? Todd Bentley meeting? There is spiritual power there. We can't deny that. It's loaded with power. But whose power is it? When this man comes out as a Jewish Messiah, he's going to say this, God loves you. God wants you to prosper. I love you. Come to me, you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. I am Jesus. He's going to quote part of the Bible. He's going to heal the sick. There's going to be people raised from the dead. He will himself be raised from the dead at one time. He's going to call down fire from heaven. There's going to be all kind of miracles. You know what? When people are sick, they want to be healed. They're going to go for healing. It's going to be a deception that you and I cannot even dream of. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Have you read that? Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie. Let me read verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Let me talk about William Branham. Some of you have read about William Branham. He died about 1965. William Branham was a healer. Had a huge following. Still has a huge following, particularly in Nigeria, Africa. William Branham, as a young boy, was visited by a spirit guide. He called him an angel. And he developed that thing. He started as a Baptist minister. And then he got into his own thing. But he simply said that this angel did the healing. Read his books. Where in the Bible does it say that angels do the healing? It says that God does the healing through the power of the Holy Ghost. They got a picture of him where we have a light rod over his head, which actually happened. It was there. But it was a demonic light. William Branham would go to hospitals. And he would go up and down in the wards, lay hands on people. There was some kind of movement. But they found out that most of the healings claimed never lasted. Most of the people got actually sicker afterwards. William Branham said that when I stand and preach, he said, I got this angel beside me. And when he begins to tell me now I'm going to move, he said, the angel is the one that spots the people, tells me all about them, and that's how the healing comes. He never spoke about the Holy Ghost. It was the angel. He's a forerunner to the Antichrist. He taught that Satan had sex with Eve and created serpent seed. He got into all kind of different doctrines. Let me read verse number 12 now. That the old might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But look at verse number 13, I would just rest. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I am trembling on a daily basis when I think about what is coming ahead of us. And I'm simply asking God, God, you show me this. How can we get this out? How can we get the message out? We need to pray over this. Let me talk about global control now. And by the way, If you have not read the Dove magazine, where we have that article about the Dove, I believe we have copies back here in the bookstore today. We're not selling them. We're simply asking for a love offering. If you're watching us, email us, call us. You need that information. It will explode when you read it. Let me talk about global control now. During the last 6,000 years, there's been one empire after the other occupying parts of the earth's surface. But none has been a global empire. In order to be able to rule the entire world with its different time zones and continents, there must be a technology that up to this time has never existed before. God spoke to the prophet Daniel some 600 years before Christ that knowledge would increase during the end times. But until the end time, the revelation that Daniel received was to be sealed. Turn with me to Daniel. That's the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Have you picked this up in verse number 4? But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Let me read verse 4 again. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on one side of this bank and the river, and the other on the side, on that side of the bank and the river. One said to the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard a man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and left hand to heaven, and swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice should be taken away, and the abomination that make desolate set up, there should be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end be, for you shall rest and stand your lot at the end of the days. Knowledge explosion, and those that have an understanding will find out. Let me read now from my outline. Bear with me. All technology is the creation of God. Man does not invent anything. We only discover what God had created before the foundation of the world. Everything that we have is from God. Satan invented, created nothing. Satan is using God's technology as a fallen angel. Technology remained at a very low level after the flood. In the Middle East area, people advanced and lived in cities and formed states and empires, while people living in other areas of the world lived in a stone age. Notice it now. Even today, we have people living on a stone age level. We're in a stone age level. Black powder was discovered in China around 1000 AD. Notice here now that almost all the discoveries has to do with weapons. And I believe that Satan inspired some of these discoveries. And then in England, around 1242, the first primitive gun was produced by the Arabs around 1300. And the production and use of muskets in Europe did not begin until around 1650. What I want you to see right now is that from the time of Christ, before the time of Christ, civilization pretty much hummed around the same standard. They improved some tools and stuff, but the same technology. When political leaders realized that the great killing capacity of this weapon, all nations began to build muskets and develop this technology to make better firearms, which could kill more people than any other previous weapon. Gutenberg, the German craftsman, had perfected his technical discovery of a printing press around 1450. Do you understand that up to 1415, every book was handwritten? Handwritten. Which meant that books were expensive and sparse. There's no doubt that this skill and knowledge was imparted by God, since all Bibles up to this time were handwritten. The Bible became available to the common man along with educational books that could be mass-produced and used in grammar schools to universities. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus, the 35th chapter. And I want you to see something here. Now, it's important to understand this. It's Exodus, if I can get there, chapter 35. You know, I wish we could do like computers, that we can simply have electric cord out of my brain, plug everyone in, hit the button, you know, and psst, all the information I have will be transferred. Wouldn't that be nice? But we had to communicate it. 35, 30. Look at this now. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord God has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. He called him by name. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and in brass, in the cutting of stone, to set them in carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he may teach. Have you seen that? Both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. God took this man, gave him this capacity, and then gave him the capacity to teach them as he filled with wisdom of heart, to work all manner of work of the engraver, of the cunning workman, of the embroiderer, in blue and in purple, in scarlet and fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. God has given me a very special education. When I was a teenager, 16 years old, I began to work at a factory in our hometown every summer for about 3 months. Factory is called Husqvarna. They call it Husky here, or Husqvarna, Husqvarna, whatever they call it, but it's Husqvarna. And they make motorcycles and sewing machines like Vikings and pots and pans and so on. And I had the privilege of working at their research center. They called it the laboratory. And that's what I worked as a young person. And here's what I noticed, and God just brought it out during the night to me. At the research center worked engineers and scientists. They were not very good with their hands, but sure were they smart. And they do their math, and they would produce drawings and things and develop things. And they would have blueprints of new products, but they couldn't make them. These blueprints were taken to a special development department. And there you had craftsmen. These were men that had no engineering degree, but they were simply so skilled. They could take a blueprint, and they could make the tools, and they could make the things, and it came absolutely fluently for them. It just flew out of their hands, and they could craft anything that they were asked to craft. These two groups of people worked together and did new products every year, coming up with new things. Without the printing press, there would have been no explosion of knowledge. In order for knowledge to explode, it would take the printing press. And without the printing press, there would not have been the revivals that we have seen, or actually read about in time past. The printed word is precious. I believe that God simply showed Gutenberg how to work, how to make a press, because no one had ever made a print press before. This is a side note. The print press principle that Gutenberg had was used for almost 500 years. Same principles, setting up types, having ink on. They perfected the machinery so they got electrical things they could do it faster. But then came another invention in the last century, the offset press, where you simply you could have a plate and you could burn it to a plate and print. That is not obsolete. Now you got the digital presses. And do you know, the public houses now do not do what they used to do. They would print a million books. They print them on demand. It's all computerized. For the time of Christ, to around 1663, man was able to improve tools and equipment. But there was no dramatic change for the human race. But that changed with the discovery of electricity. And for the next 174 years, scientists and engineers in Europe and in the United States tried to learn how to produce and use it in practical applications. 1663, electricity discovered. And I wrote this: electricity is a mechanical spirit that gives life to all mechanical electronic equipment. Look upon yourself now for a moment. You and I are a mixture of the spiritual world and the physical world. On top of our, inside our heads, is the computer. It's a living computer, second to none. We cannot even make a computer like that, because this computer can think and reason, where our computers cannot reason and think. They simply cannot go beyond what the programmer has put in there. Do you know that you are run by electricity? Every one of us, we got our own power plants inside. We produce our own electricity. We also run by chemical reactions. What really messes us up now is this, that if you have a machine, if you got a computer never gets depressed. A car never gets depressed. It's a machine. And here's what God did. He simply created a machine, put a soul and a spirit in, and then gave us feelings. A machine does not need to be told, I love you. I love you. You're okay. You don't have to say to the machine. But you know what? You and I must have love, or we don't function too well. If we are not loved, we be not feeling too good inside. This is how God made us. Electricity is the mechanical spirit that gives life to all mechanical electronic equipment, including our bodies. Let's talk about the explosion of knowledge. Until 1769, horses, camels, donkeys, mules, and oxen had been the engines for all transportation on land. But that changed when man discovered the principle of steam power, which set in motion a great race to develop more and better technology. A steam engine did not need any electricity to function. And by 1803, the first functional steam locomotive was built and generated need for railroads. Now, I want you to think about this. Up to this time, engines did not exist. How did the man that developed the steam engine think about a cylinder with a head on, rings, piston, gearbox? Where did that come from? It was a technology transfer from the spirit world to man. Now, the steam engine could be used for good stuff, and it could be used as a weapon. I want you now to see quickly here now just how technology developed. 1837, the telegraph was developed. Made a big difference. Remember all the Western movies you saw? With a telegraph, when they would sit, they called for the cavalry. Gasoline combustion engine in 1860. That's a long time ago. For us, the telephone, 1876. Phonograph, 1877. Light bulb, 1879. The first functional automobiles, 1885. And radio, 1897. And the first propeller-driven airplane in 1903. Look how rapid now things developed. Up to 1663, technology has stayed about the same. And then suddenly now in about 50 years, boom, we are moving fast upward. The 4 years of World War I. From 1940 to 1918 was a period of time when Satan inspired political leaders to spend millions of dollars to develop new technology into weapon systems. Much progress was made in development of the technology to use in the navies of the world, with greater warships like battleships, cruisers, destroyers, submarines, etc., with better guns, heavier armor, electronic firing system, instant communication via radio. War brings technology. The nation and the world developed the battle tanks, trucks, motorized artillery, and a better ability to direct battle through the use of radio. Airplanes were designed to drop bombs and operate as fighters. Here's what I wrote to the box. Once man learned of God's great technology, he was used to build weapons. which were more efficient and able to kill larger number of people with less manpower on a faster scale. Isn't that sad? That the technology that was used for war. The years between World War I and World War II were used to develop the weapons of war to higher and better efficiency. Anything that benefited civilians was a byproduct. The first function of television broadcast took place in the United States in 1922. And it became clear to the owners of the American radio media that this would be a future type of broadcasting. As the military developed heavy aircraft bombs in the late 1920s, the need for detection systems stimulated research that could spot bombers or Navy ships long before the naked eye could see them. As early as in the late 1880s, German physicist Heinrich Hertz had developed a crude radar system, but he didn't have the necessary financial backing for it. A patent was filed for a radar system in 1904. It was not until 1930 that a functional radar system was in operation in the United States, and 6 units had been placed at Pearl Harbor, which worked very well and detected a Japanese air attack in 1941, but was disregarded by the military commander. I'm not talking about Pearl Harbor today, but they knew they were coming, and they could have given them a warm welcome. But we were not allowed to. A deadly race began between the United States and Nazi Germany to see who would be the first to develop an atomic bomb. Germany got close. Have you ever heard about heavy water? The Germans had a different way of doing it. They used heavy water. We used a different system. And if you remember anything about World War II, they developed a lot of, they had heavy water generated in Norway. And we sent in special units to blow up these facilities. Because Germany was very close to a nuclear bomb by 1944. We beat them. And then we dropped 2 bombs on Japan. And if you wonder, why did they select Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Let me tell you why. In Japan, Christian missions have been working for a number of years. Nagasaki and Hiroshima were the Christian centers in Japan. This is where you have the most Christians. They could have bombed Tokyo. They could have bombed Yokohama. But they selected 2 cities with no industrial center, but with a heavy Christian population. And guess what happened to Christianity after World War II? It took a nosedive in Japan, has never taken off. Germany pushed the technology race even further by developing a jet engine. And by 1944 had operational jet fighters, which participated until the end of the war. They could outfly our aircrafts. And the only way that the American commander could deal with this was, they said, "We just leave the fighters alone. We can't catch them. Find out where they fly out, where their bases are." And that's where the American fighters came. When they came home with low on fuel, that's where they knocked them out. Let's not forget the German rocket industry that produced the first long-range missiles, which rained their deadly payload of England in the last 2 years of the war. And guess what happened to the German scientists of rocket industry? Where did they end up? Alabama, White Sands. We took them all and gave the Russians the leftovers. By 1950, black and white television broadcast was an American staple. It's a shame we had television. And by 1954, the 3 television networks began the introduction of color in broadcasting. Listen to this now, look upon these facts now. It was 213 years which is 5.1 hour for God, from the printing press unto discovery electricity. It was 282 years or 6.8 hours for God for the discovery electricity unto the end of World War II. But the pace of knowledge would skyrocket in 1947. Let me take you now to Revelation 12, 7. Revelation chapter 12. If you pick it up in verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Let me just drop this on you. Do you understand we have an angel civilization? If you read the Old Testament, angels came to all kinds of different things. Do you understand that when we compare ourselves to the ancient civilization, we are Stone Age. And God kept us that way. Because every time we learn something new, what do we develop? A new weapon. Kill better, faster. And prevail not. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, his angels were cast out with him. And heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, but the accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The devil knows he has a short time. You look upon the time here, we just said 5.5 hours from the printing press to electricity, 6.8 hours from electricity to World War II. According to the Bible, it has been 6,126 years since God created Adam and Eve. And in God's time, it is only 6 days, 3 hours, and 18 minutes. Since Adam and Eve were created, it's only 6 days, 3 hours, and 18 minutes for God. And the angels, including the devil. This means that in God's timing, there's only 20 hours and 42 minutes left of the seventh day. Will we go more than 7 days? We don't know. We do not know how many days God has set for man on this earth. But since the Bible says that the time is short, it is obvious that Satan wants to accelerate things before his time is up. What I'm sharing with you here now are two things. Look at the two footnotes here and there. Up to World War II, we didn't have an air force. It was called the Army Air Corps. They were Army airfields. And it's kind of funny, or actually peculiar, that on July 26, 1947, the Air Force was formed by an act of Congress. And actually national security. And then the second footnote is a book called The Day After Roswell. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. This man, Colonel Corso, was part of the military establishment. He was the coordinator of the development of these new weapons. Before he died, he wrote his book. He had a ghostwriter helping him. Do you know that 6 months after the book was published, he was martyred? Heart attack, I believe. The intelligence services are very skilled in giving either heart attacks or cancer or some other disease that kills them fast. They realized, we don't want anyone to talk to this guy. This book sold quite a bit. We can't talk to the author. Dead man, do not talk. Let me read now. We've got to move on here. On July 4th, 1947, and if you get this book, this is not documented in this particular book, with documents from the United States Armed Forces. The devil had one of his flying craft to crash land in a desert close to the 509th Army Airfield, which is located in the vicinity of the city of Roswell in New Mexico. Only 1 week prior, there had been an enormous activity of unidentified flying objects, and a high alert had been issued due to the harassment close to some of the most sensitive military bases and the test range, White Sands. U.S. Army Counterintelligence Command had dispatched a large number of its operatives to the Army Air Base with orders to immediately retrieve any objects found from these UFOs. Thus, when the crash occurred on July 4th, they were ready, had secured the crash site in a short amount of time. The alien craft was nearly intact, with very little damage, and a number of alive and dead crew members were found by the military. Later, it was determined that these were not human, but some kind of clones that the military could not identify. Even through a fire truck and even a police cruiser from the city of Roswell had made its way to the crash site, and hundreds of people in town had seen the craft go down. The military denied there had been a crash and threatened the firemen and the police officer that they would be swept up or killed if they talked, never to be seen again. Documented. The craft and its crewmen were taken to the Army Air Base. The dead crewmen were embalmed in formaldehyde, and the craft and crewmen were taken to the Air Material Command at Wright Field Air Base in Ohio. Now we're going to talk about reverse engineering. The craft was carefully examined. It became clear to the engineers working the project that they were seeing a technology that man didn't even know existed. Only a fraction what was found is known outside intelligence circles, and the Air Force technicians working on it. The craft was wired with flexible glass-like wires, which we now know as fiber optics. The craft is some kind of control center that later became known as a computer. And they found wafer boards with etched circuits, which we now call circuit boards. The windows of the craft were made of material that when a person looked through, they could see objects even in the dark. Now we know this as night vision. They were clothing material that could stretch but could not be cut with a pair of scissors. Today this material is known as Kevlar and is used to make bulletproof vests. Then there was some kind of a pen-shaped object that had a button. If you pushed it, gave out the red ray that would hurt and burn if it pointed to human skin. Today we know this as a laser. The craft itself had no jet or rocket engines. The engineer could not find any source in the craft that would propel the craft and deduced that it must be propelled by some kind of magnetic, electronic, or electric propulsion. According to Colonel Corson, they were never able to solve this problem, but this might have also been kept from him. I want you to see now, you that are young, born after 1980, you says, well, you don't even know stuff like this. Let's just go quickly through it. Transistors. If you're like me, and always live a little bit longer, our radios was about this big vacuum tubes. You didn't take it with you. It was heavy. And I remember in the 50s, when we got the boom boxes with transistors, we thought, man, transistors were developed in 1947 at Bell Telephone Laboratories. Material given from this craft to this laboratory. Integrated circuit boards were developed with many transistors, diodes, resistors on semiconducting material. Microprocessors were developed by Intel in 1972. Life without the microchip would be unthinkable to the young people today. microprocessors found in things like television, cell phones, digital cameras, radios, MP3 players. They control ignition on your car, fuel injection, your brake system, all electric kitchen appliances like ovens, refrigerators, dishwashers have them. Even your washer and dryer have them. There's nothing today without a microchip. Lasers were developed by Columbia University in 1958. Today they are used in surgery and to remove tattoos. CD and DVD players use a laser to read a disc. And stores use laser to read barcodes at the checkout. They are also used in construction and surveying. Next time you go to the supermarket, you see that little red light coming up and they run a barcode over. Remember, that came from that flying object in Roswell, 1947. Stealth technology was implemented in the F-117 fighter bombers, the B-2 heavy bomber. Stealth is achieved by coating the surface of an airplane or a ship with material that absorbs the radar rather than reflecting it back to the sender. We learned that from that. Depleted uranium was the only known metal with similar properties as the skin of the craft. It would later be used in artillery and tank shells for it, and because of its hardness and penetration ability. Used in the first Gulf War in 1990, used in the second one. Isn't marvelous? We have depleted uranium, very radioactive. We make shells of this. We shoot them out. They explode, become dust. Everybody's breathing it after that. Progress. Particle beam weapons. Focus an intense beam of either electrons or neutral hydrogen atoms at a target. The particle beam is fired in pulses that travel at the near speed of light and excite the atoms in the target until they literally blow themselves apart. Whatever does not disintegrate will be destroyed electronically and rendered useless. In the last Gulf War, they used the particle weapons in Baghdad. They were witnesses of buses and trucks that simply suddenly begin to disintegrate and were destroyed. Today, the United States have killer satellites. And these killer satellites are no longer just exploding another satellite, but they have these particle beams. And they can simply shoot the burst out and destroy a satellite. Let's get down to the end here now. From the UFO crash in 1947, it only took the American military industrial complex 43 short years. 1.03 hours in God time to develop and mass-produce weapon systems that came from the fallen spirit world. We are 1 hour away from that crash. And look what we have done in 1 hour. God's time. But there's another weapon system that was developed, which is absolutely essential in order to have a global control over people. This system is made up of the internet, computers, digital cameras, surveillance and communication satellites. The end result is a global positioning system, GPS. One day, it'll be mandatory for all vehicles on the earth. The laser technology made it possible to develop a barcode system, which is mandatory for all products sold in the Western world today. Now, you should be able to understand these Bible verses. Revelation 13:15. And he had power, this is the false prophet now. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Written 90 years ago when I didn't even have electricity. Television. You know what? Television set to the future will come with a small camera. Have you seen the new cameras? We have cameras here today. These cameras used to be at least 6 feet long, 4 feet high, and about 2 feet wide in television studios. You cannot barely see them in the ceiling. And these cameras are digital. They pick up anything. Very close. Beautiful cameras. They also got cameras that has a little pinpoint head no bigger than my pen here. And that is used in surveillance. Walls, other places. But it will also one day be put in a television set. Nixon, before he was ousted, and I shared that with you before, he simply said this. Let's develop, we have the technology, that we can simply put a switch in every television set in America. If there's an emergency, we simply turn them on from Washington, D.C., and we can speak to all Americans. America at the time, they got outraged and said, no, invasion of privacy. But the day will come when television set will be turned on from some center. There'll be a camera in there. And when it comes up and say, time to worship, and you do not fall down between your snacks in your living room, that camera will pick it up. And the center will say, such and such an address, they're not worshiping. And before you know it, you have the goon squad over to your place. That time is coming. And causes money, as we not worship the image of the beast, to be killed. And it causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand with their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, so he that had a mark in the name of the beast, or number his name. Here's wisdom, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Right now we don't have a mark on our bodies. But you got a social security number. And this is pointed out to me by Charles, because I had to make a copy of my social security card a few days ago. And he said, look at this. And on my social security card, it says, not for identification. And then he pulled his card out, and it didn't have those words. When they came out with social security, they simply said, this number will never be used to identify. It is a retirement system. Tell it to DMV today. I want a license, but you're not going to get my social security number. And they're going to tell you, bye-bye. You cannot sell or buy in America today unless you have a social security number. And even if you got cash, if you're going to take out cash in the bank, you want to take out about $5,000 or more, you got to sign a form and say, you know, what are you going to use the cash for? And when you got cash, people, have you noticed that now if you pay with $100 bills? I noticed now they have certain scanners, and before they take your $100 bill, they scan it first to make sure it is not the bogus. It's getting tightening up. Right now, we got social security number. In other countries, they got personal numbers. Everybody in this on this planet today got a number, unless you live in a jungle someplace and swing between the palm trees. You can still be without a number. So what I've done here today is simply lay down a technology transfer. I want you now to go home. I want you to study this. I want you to go on the internet. Find out if I have told you the truth. Get the book. Get a Dove magazine. Educate yourself. Think. And they say, wow. There has been a technology transfer. The IBM company sold the punch card system to the German government before World War I. And after World War I was done, IBM went in big time in Germany and built up a system where you have the cards. Now, you younger people simply says, well, what are you playing cards? No. These were sorting cards that the machine could read. And you would have a stack like this, it would like this. High technology. Adolf Hitler had every German in the card system on the IBM system. When they were going to round up people, they didn't have to go and say, where does so-and-so live? It was all there because they had to report everything. Doctor's reports, where you worked, everything, school, so on. It was always reported. And you also had to register where you live. Now, when I left Sweden, I had a buddy of mine, and he said, aren't you scared to go to America? I said, no. But you know, you don't have to register. I said, yeah, isn't that lovely? No one will know where I live. I can move and I don't have to go down to the police station and register within 6 months. That's what they had to do in Europe. You had to register. And the guy looked at me and says, but you could get lost. I said, no. This is freedom. Here in America, we don't know how far things have come. Now they got the census coming up. And that was supposed, they were only supposed to ask, you know, how many people live here, you know, and so on. They won't ask a whole bunch of other questions. If they come to my house, I'm going to tell them, no. I ain't giving you that information. Let me read again. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in the right hand or in the foreheads. And that no man may buy or sell, say that the mark of the name of the beast or number of his name. Here's what I'm telling you. Without the technology transfer in 1947, the Antichrist cannot come on the scene. He has to have the technology. And the technology is to keep track of people and goods. Do you know that every railroad car in the United States has a GPS unit on it? Every long-distance truck has a GPS system on it. They know instantly where a load is. General Motors says, you know, OnStar, you can get help if you break down. Yes, but they also know where you live. Let me talk about your cell phone before I close here. Up to now, a cell phone could not be traced. And now they have simply demanded, and this is the works, that in the next few years, you pick up your cell phone, and they can GPS you right away and tell exactly your location, where you are on that cell phone, within 6 or 7 feet. Isn't it lovely? Somebody would keep track on you. All of this would be impossible without the technology transfer. Today was an informational sermon. This is not talk about your needs, what you need to have and this and that. This is information because we're living in it and it's going to get worse. And we know, we need to know what to do. We could have an invitation here. At this invitation, if you are sick, you need a healing. If you feel you need strength, if you want to have an anointing, whatever it is. If you want to get saved, if you think you're not saved, you come on up. Let's stand and let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had here today. And Lord, at times I got too excited here today, I read it too fast. But I pray, Father God, that whatever I spoke, there will be enough to stick. And that every man and every woman listening to me today would simply take these outlines and say, it sounds strange, but we're going to check it out. Oh God, give us the same minds, understanding the Bereans had. And Paul had spoken that they searched the scriptures to see if it was so. Touch those that need a healing today, Father God. Touch those that need an anointing. Maybe someone today needs to make a decision they need to be prayed for. Whatever it is, Lord, bless the people. as they come forward to be prayed for. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. You come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the third part in the series, Jesus or the Antichrist, and was entitled Satanic Technology Transfer. The Bible says that Lucifer's Antichrist will lead the world in Satan worship and exercise global control. But in order for that to happen, someone must have total financial and political control. This can partly be accomplished through military supremacy, but there also needs to be a high level of technology. Pastor John showed how Satan released a massive technical transfer in 1947 and how it has affected our lives. This transfer of technology was actually prophesied by Daniel some 2,600 years ago, and this means we are much closer to the tribulation period than previously thought. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1224. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.